We are just a few weeks away from finishing our year-long theme, Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. In this month, we're going to tell about the birth of Jesus and focus on the fact that they were very ordinary people. We tend to have turned the Christmas story and the people involved, the biblical perspective of it, into myths. You know, Joseph and Mary, even the shepherds. And we forget these are very human beings. In the moment, they had no clue that an extraordinary God was going to ask them or tell them to be involved in his plan for mankind. Because we tend to be used to the stories, and sometimes we believe some of the movies that we see are the truth, and it becomes a challenge. And I want you to see this month that these people had the same emotions and fears that we do, especially when it comes to God just going, hey, I want you to do something extraordinary. Because that is literally the story of Christmas, what we've turned it into. And today I want to talk about a guy that rarely gets mentioned with the birth of Jesus, a guy by the name of Zechariah, which is really where the story begins, and his wife Elizabeth. And I want you to see how this very ordinary guy gets surprised by God. Now listen, this is a guy that gets up, goes to work, comes home, and goes to bed. Can anyone relate with that at all? Except we got Netflix. They did not. Oh my gosh, Disney Plus. You got Disney Plus, right? If not, come over to my house. We're going to have a party. Love it! But get up, go to work, go to school, come home, go to bed. Repeat, right? And you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it. And the last thing we expect in that cycle is for God to go, boo. We don't expect God to go, hey, tap, 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 right? So in this story, I think this is fantastic. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11, which we're not talking about because there's too many good things here, it literally says these words, then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah. Get up, go to work, go home, go to sleep, repeat. Get up, go to work, then God shows up. That's how God is annoying, right? Just got to get through this day. I just want to go home. I just want to go to bed. Oh, I don't want to have to get up in the morning, right? And repeat. But then God comes along and goes, guess what? Surprise! Now, something you got to understand about Zechariah, he's me. He's a pastor in that day and age. And the thing that you did not expect to happen was for you to walk into the temple and to run into God. I want you to think about that for a moment. Where God's people had gotten to the point that when they go to church, they don't expect God to show up. Tell me that's not a problem with a lot of churches today, right? Get up, go to church, go home, go to bed, repeat, right? Then suddenly, that's going to happen a lot in these next couple weeks. Then God is so annoying when he just shows up like that. Listen, one of the things that I love to do, you know this about me, is hit coffee shops, right? So I was accidentally on my way to Findlay one day, and I thought, I am stopping in Bluffton at Twisted Whisk. Because when I walk in there, they go, oh, hey! It's weird. And I sat there, sipping on my coffee, and ADD, as I'm trying to type some things out, I hear at the table behind me, girl, guy saying, all pastors are liars. ADD engaged. I didn't say anything because my back's to him, right? Girl with back to me says, no. It's worse than that. All pastors are pedophiles. ADD triggered, right? And I'm like, I stood up because I thought, this is one of those moments, right, that you always hear about. Hey, I was sent by this guy on the airplane and he gave his life to Jesus. And I'm like, this is it. This is the moment where I can turn and go, beep, 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 Jesus, and they all fall down, right? And it's exciting. And I stood up. And then suddenly, I kid you not, God said, you shut your mouth. Did you not hear what they just said? This is my chance. And so God told me no. And you know what I did? I moved my stuff to a completely different table. I wanted to tackle that. I wanted to have that conversation. I wanted to hear why they were so hurt, how they had been damaged by church. I just wanted to listen. And God told me no. Not what I expected. You didn't expect the story to go there, did you? And then suddenly. What do we do in those moments when we're just simple, ordinary people and we think we've got life figured out, we're just going through the motions, and then suddenly? What do we do with that? What does Zechariah end up doing with that? Can God use us even when we tell him no? I heard somebody whisper yes. All right, can God use us, spoiler, can God use us even when we tell him no? What about when God says he has the opportunity of a lifetime for us? I didn't say me. And we tell him no. You're going to find out with Zechariah, because Zechariah is an old man. He admits it. So he's like 55 and above, right? He's an old man. And God says, hey, guess what? You and your wife are going to have a baby. And Zechariah goes, no. Can God use us when we say no? Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1. We're familiar with Luke chapter 2 when it comes to Christmas. Luke chapter 1 is where it all begins. The snowball begins rolling down with John the Baptist's mom and dad. One of the things we have to get used to when God and then suddenly's us is engage our brains. All right, so we're going to skip ahead in the story to verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Hey, you're going to have a baby. How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, 55 and above, and my wife is well along in years. Because, fellas, you don't tell anybody how old your wife is, right? You can say that you are an old man, and the old bat, no, right? You don't go there. Well, she's matured, right? She's well along in years. Please look at verse 18 and understand this when it comes to our brains. When God suddenly appears to us, we in our humanness try to put God into terms that we can understand. Our brains, right? And then God shows up and says, I want you to do something extraordinary. And so we begin to reduce God and our understanding of him so that we can, in the box, right? So, Matt, you talked about something. One of my all-time favorite verses for Christmas has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus, but it has to do with the Apostle Paul going, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. I like presents, right? He literally refers to Jesus as a gift to mankind. What kind of gift did he say he was? Indescribable. What's my job? to describe the indescribable God. And we try to, in our humanness, wrap our brains around this extraordinary God so that when he calls us to do something extraordinary, we do the yeah, but. Yeah, but God, you don't understand. I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the resources. God, you asked me to do that, and do you remember what happened to me when I was 7? Right? You know, we can't wrap our brains around this extraordinary God. It doesn't make sense. Okay, God, let me understand this. You want us to have a baby. Those days are all gone. Right? Not happening. The Bible tells us, when it comes to reducing God to our own understanding, tells us, don't you do that. Lean not on your own understanding, the Bible says. And we do that all the time, though, right? Trying to wrap our brains around, how can an extraordinary God call me, someone ordinary, to do something amazing? Right? So when Zechariah is told that he's going to have a kid, his brain goes, that's not possible. It's literally God saying, I want you and your wife to change the world. That's not possible. You think they ever tried to have a kid? Oh gosh, Elizabeth talks about it. It has her heartbrokenness as we expand the story along. It crushes her, and she'll talk about it here in a little bit. She has desperately wanted to have a kid, and for some reason, physically, they just cannot. But here's what blows my mind about this story. These very human people are not told, hey, by the way, you're going to have a kid, and boom, through the force, you're pregnant. That's Mary. Hey, you're going to have a kid. I think we know it's baby-making time, right? They had to go and do something they had done a million times before. To have a kid, every single time it failed, and it's heartbreak, right? Go home. Tell your wife. Good luck, right? That's amazing faith to me. I love that ordinary part to this story. I want you to change the world. Well, God, you see, here's why it's not possible. We tell the God of the impossible, yeah, because we always leave with our insecurities. So human, we've got to begin to train our brain to think, I can't do it. I don't know how it's possible, but God, I trust you. Because that's what Mary ends up doing. She literally says the same words that Zechariah does. But she believes. So here's the sad part of kind of throwing it back in God's face, verses 19 and 20. There's some bummer stuff that happens when our brains don't comprehend what God wants to do. The angel said to him, I know you've seen the movies, I know you've seen the cartoons. You know, the angel's always soft-spoken, and that always annoys me about our interpretation of Jesus in movies. You know, like when he's yelling at the Pharisees, I tell you the truth. Oh, please. I literally see Gabriel at this point going, oh, really? I am Gabriel. Listen to these words. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. But you had a bad response to this good news. So verse 20. Comes the bummer. And now you will be silent, a pastor. You could only wish. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, till your kid's born. Because you did not believe my words. which will come true at their appointed time. It is, verse 19, it is a bummer when we don't recognize that God is trying to get our attention. And there are consequences. Guys, listen, there's always consequences to God calling us to do something extraordinary, right? We tend to think of the consequences of, I can't afford that, I can't do that, I don't have the talent, I don't have the time. We think of those consequences. And we learn throughout Scripture, there's consequences to God going, okay, fine, I'm still going to do it, but you are going to miss out. And there's a consequence to Zechariah not believing here. Are you constantly aware of when God is trying to get your attention? I bet you're not, because I know I'm not. Now, listen, the way that I am wired with my ADD, I have finally learned over time what does not work for me. You sit down in the early morning and you read your Bible for 2 hours or whatever. You know, that does not work for me. Devotional books do not work for me. You know, Our Daily Bread is Awesome doesn't work for me. You know what does work for me? Constant, nonstop, always realizing that God is trying to get my attention. And so you're going to think this is dumb. I can watch that stupid parade on Thanksgiving morning that is so annoying, and I can see a float, or I can hear a statement that's made and go, huh. Because God, I have understood with my ADD, I can constantly pick up on things. All pastors are pedophiles. You know, just constantly pick up on things that engages my brain spiritually. Now, yes, you can set aside time to do it. Are you so in tune with the Spirit of God that is within you that you know it when He's talking to you? The only reason I'm convinced that I paid attention, that it was God telling me, shut your mouth, don't talk to these people, get away from them, which doesn't make sense. I still can't, is because I've been fasting. Not like all the time fasting because I'm still fat, it's obvious, right? But I've been setting aside time to specifically pray, because there's things that are so overwhelming to me right now. I've got to rely on Him. It helps me to get rid of some of that stuff, to be more in tune. So here's the question. Can we still be used by God even if we tell Him no? Or, I don't think you can pull that off. Zip it, bro. Right? Can we still be used by God when we tell Him no and we suffer consequences of telling Him no? Right? This is every wife's dream come true. Honey, can't you say anything? Right? Look at this. Look at verse 21. All right, Tuesday morning group, here comes our big butt. Meanwhile, the people, they're outside in the temple courts waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. He's got a job to do, get up, go to work, come home, go to bed. Repeat. What's he taking so long for? Nobody expects to meet God in church. Verse 22, when Zechariah came out, he could not speak to them. A priest could not speak to them. They realized, can God use us in our brokenness, in our hurting, when we've been punished, whatever it is? They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them. Wonder what those were like. You know? I don't know. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And it makes me wonder, in my brokenness, in my hurting, when I show up, do people look and go, that guy has been in the presence of God? Don't have to say a word. That guy, that girl, they've been in the presence of God. God can still use us. In spite of our unwillingness or our lack of understanding, God can still use us. The people still realize something amazing happened. And it makes me wonder. Regardless of what I say or do, do people always go, this is a man who has been in the presence of God. And it's so obvious. All I have to do is look at him. Guys, you can still be a witness for him. All right, so verse 23. When his time of service was completed, he got done with his job, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. Oh my gosh. And for 5 months remained in seclusion. I don't know if she put herself on bed rest, but she's like, I don't need the paparazzi going nuts over an old lady being pregnant. I'm just hiding out. Now listen to this. Verse 25. This is Christmas. This is the whole point to Jesus being born. The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Right? In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. A birth takes away our disgrace by his grace. I don't know what it is that's keeping you from believing that God can do amazing things in and around you. I don't know what it is that when God speaks to you, you don't recognize it, or you're like, not me, God. These very ordinary people were used by an extraordinary God to change the world. Please, guys, let Christmas be about the birth of God on earth that gave us the opportunity for him to take our disgrace away so that through him we can change the world. Let's stand for our invitation this morning, and as we get ready to sing out, I so want you guys to understand that this morning, this very moment, like Elizabeth, he is telling us that he can take your disgrace away. You can do it right there, or as we sing, I want you to come down, stand here, kneel here. Maybe it's for someone else that you just like, oh man, I wish they could know God's grace here at Christmas time. You just come together as we sing.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all we've projected, a child in a manger? Lonely and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers, sons for me? Bringing our gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Gold for his honor and frankincense for his pleasure and myrrh. For the cross he'll suffer, do you believe? This who we've waited.
Just believe this morning.
How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many graves have become the leaves for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did that.
And so God, this morning we praise you for being the only God that sacrificed in ways we can't wrap our brains around, that you sent your son to die for us, that by being born, you wanted to take away our hurt and our disgrace and our pain. And for far too long, we've struggled to get where you are when you came where we are. So God, I pray for the one hurting so much this morning. They've tried, and like Elizabeth, it just is soul-crushing. I pray for those of us who have already been healed, that we can help those who don't know how extraordinary your grace is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.